to thank all those who had read. At this time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Sarah.
Hi. My name's Sarah. I'm an addict.
Sarah.
Thanks for clapping. I didn't say anything. So, this meeting's called Freedom and Purity of Purpose, and it's also about the fourth and fifth traditions. I should not do this. I don't know. The traditions, the traditions are non-negotiable. They are what they say they are, and the purpose of the traditions is to bind the groups together. They keep us from losing what our primary purpose is. You know, the fact that we're here to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. I feel kind of strange just going right into this. I just want to say that I'm really happy to be here today. It's a real nice place I got here for us now, isn't it? It's nice, clean. Let's keep it that way. Nobody put, you know, keep it clean. anyway, I just think that that's important. But anyway, I tried to do a whole lot of research, and actually I did a lot of research and a lot of reading, but I didn't actually write anything. I just kept procrastinating about what I was, you know, what to write on the fourth and fifth traditions. But what I did write about was the other ones, a real quick synopsis, and then I'll do those two. One thing I wanted to just keep in mind as I talked about this was that the fact that NA only makes one promise, and that's freedom from active addiction. There are no other promises. We're not going to get a better house. We're not going to get a nice husband. We're not going to get a lot of money. None of that's going to happen. There's no promise that that's going to happen. All they're saying is that we have freedom from active addiction. That's it. You know, if you do what's suggested, you won't have to suffer anymore. And for the traditions, where does that list go? Sorry about that. It's easier if I have them to look at rather than have to. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. And for me, that just means that unity, that it's a we program, and you have to have a message to carry one. You know, it's very important for us as recovering addicts to have some recovery before we go out, you know, thinking that we can just share this with everything. Before, you know, and that each of us as an individual needs to work on ourselves, and then we can work together as a group. For our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself on our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. To me, that means that my higher power is the CEO in the group, and that we are here to help by committing to serve the group, okay? That God's in charge, okay? When we have a group conscience, because that's what we do in our group, that hopefully that we're thinking that a direct quote of the book is that we must be constantly on guard, that our decisions are truly an expression of God's will. And that's, you know, that's what it's about. Not about me thinking what I want to have happen, but remembering that when we have a group conscience to do something, like right now my home group, I'm thinking about having like a cookout this summer. And I remember that it's something that the newcomers will feel comfortable with to become involved with. Because it's about not just us home group people, you know, having a party, although that's it too, but to let newcomers know that anybody can come that wants to come, that everybody is welcome. Three, they'll inquire for membership's desire to stop using, and that's pretty self-explanatory, that anybody can be here. But one thing that I think is very important that mentions in the text is that membership in Narcotics Anonymous is not automatic. We have to decide. We have to make the decision that we're going to become members of Narcotics Anonymous. And I think a lot of people forget that. I think a lot of people forget that, anybody can come here. You know, but you have to be willing, you have to decide for yourself whether you're an addict or not and whether you're a member of Narcotics Anonymous. It's just not an instant thing. It's a decision that I think. The sixth tradition is that no group endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to anything outside NA. And I think this is also just so we won't distract from the primary purpose. And also so that we know that with other fellowships, because a lot of times it gets blurred, like when we have stuff at clubhouses, that it's about cooperating. You know, we're not affiliated with a hospital that we have meetings at or the halfway house, but we are there to cooperate, you know, and to be responsible. And then seven is self-supporting. And that's real important for me in my personal life as well as in, you know, for the groups. And I think the main thing to look at that is a lot of times I don't know if people always completely understand. There's a new thing in the car that's supposed to explain a little better. But mine is mainly so we don't become attached, you know, to anybody else. So we are, you know, completely autonomous. Eight is that we remain non-professional. And again, this is to keep the primary purpose and not dilute the message. So we don't become, you know, a therapeutic community. You know, that it doesn't become a hospital center, become something for profit. But sometimes, like it says, we need to employ professionals. And something, you know, you don't think about is like DJs or professionals, you know, that kind of stuff. We have to hire people that know what they're doing when they're doing their job. And nine is, I thought it was funny, you know, it talks about NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards and committees directly responsible to those they serve. And I thought that's my little joke was that explains why service is so confusing. The fact is that I think a lot of people who are new get drafted into service and they don't necessarily know what's happening. It's like, oh, we have willing victims. And they don't necessarily know that it is us, the members and the groups, that sort of have the veto power. You know, we have the final say on what happens in our committees, in our areas. You know, if we don't like the way something's going on, we need to speak up and have our home group have a group conscience and, you know, say we don't like this. We don't feel comfortable. Number 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory. You know, we just don't have any opinions on anything other than freedom from active addiction. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. I think this is all about attraction because somebody who represents NA could use. It's just that simple. If I go in the newspaper and say that, you know, I'm representing Narcotics Anonymous and what it has to say, and then 2 weeks from now I go out and use, it doesn't really give a great impression. And then number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever minds, place principles before personalities. For me, it just emphasizes that it's a we fellowship and that all of us are equal members, and it's about the message and not the messenger. So many times I get caught up in, oh, look who's sharing. See ya. You know, and I'm going to leave, you know, and it's not about that today. That would be my daughter screaming in the back of the room. And tradition 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Autonomy, I looked it up in the dictionary because I wanted to make it a little simpler than it says in the basic text. And it said that autonomy meant independent, self-contained, and self-governing. It meant that the group is responsible to do those things. And by being independent, it means that that's just what they are, just like we are. It's responsible to itself and its members. It says in the How It Works and Why, the fourth tradition enhances that freedom. Enhances the freedom, allowing the rich diversity of our varied experience to help us serve. And then it talks about through working the steps, we learn that with freedom comes responsibility. But we have to learn how to act responsibly as a group and as a fellowship. And that the NA groups are vehicles for the message of recovery. And I did, on Tradition 4, it can go a lot of ways. There's a lot of information in the How, Works, and Why about Tradition 4 because there's a lot of different things. One, you have the fact that you can pick your meeting format, open, closed, 90 minutes, 60 minutes, stand up, sit down, you know, sit in a circle, you know, smoking, non-smoking. You have all that. That's the simple stuff. And then you have that whole special interest thing. And that's where I went. I went doing my research, and I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to be too controversial, you know. Got some information from the WSO. Really didn't tell me anything except for, if your area doesn't mind it, then do it. And, you know, if people want it, have it. That's pretty much what it said. And I went on the net and got some information there. I had some people that I talked to regularly and got their opinions, and they're very strongly opinionated people. And some people felt very strongly about the ability to have special interest meetings, regardless of what they were, things that met people's special needs, HIV-positive meetings, gay meetings, lesbian meetings, women's meetings, any kind of meetings, young people's meetings. Some people felt that those kind of meetings would separate us, make us look for how we were unique. And some people felt that those things were needed to let people know that they could identify even stronger. Because, see, when I came here to Narcotics Anonymous, I was 17 years old. So, of course, I was the youngest person in Narcotics Anonymous. There was nobody younger than me. And you all didn't know, because you didn't live at home, you weren't in high school, you didn't understand. There weren't too many young people's meetings, but I did go. You know, when I found one, I went, because it felt good. It felt good to sit in a room with people who were less than 20 years old, or however. They never put a time age. It just said young people's. It never said you couldn't be how old. You know, it didn't, you know, it didn't say how old you could be. So, I mean, I think anybody could go. And that's the key, is the fact that as long as anybody is welcome, you know, it's you know, it's fine. And that's what I got out of what I read in the How It Works and Why, too, is the fact that as long as the groups, it says as long as a group observes the 12 traditions, and it says espouses, and I, you know, translated that to adopts and is loyal to the 12 steps of NA and its meetings, it may consider itself a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And it also has to make sure that it adheres to its primary purpose, regardless of what specific people's needs it's looking to meet. It also needs to make sure that it's helping the still suffering addict. And that person who's suffering can be, you know, somebody who's been here for a while. I mean, I've been clean for 14 years, and I suffer, you know. I need to be listened to some days. Or it could be for people, you know, who are brand new. It doesn't matter, just as long as it's meeting the needs of the still suffering addict. And that anyone's welcome. I've also been a member of a women's group. And, you know, we used to have men come in all the time. They just didn't, they didn't even think. You know, they just read it, you know, whatever. I don't think the name said that we were women's meeting. And they would come, and we either let them stay, or there was another meeting, ours started at 8. There was another meeting like 5 minutes away. And we'd just tell them, here, this is where the other one's at. You can't get lost. And they had the choice. So it was not about exclusion. You know, it wasn't about excluding people. And like I said, when I was talking on this topic on the Internet, some people are saying, well, you know, that means you could have, you know, like racist groups, or you could have hate groups. And that's true, you could. But is that about the spirit of recovery? I don't think so. You know what I mean? If people want to do that, they can do that. That really is fine, but it's not about the spirit of recovery today. And I don't know, that's, you know, after being here for a little while, I'm much more laid back than I used to be, and it's kind of like, hey, if that's what they want to do, whatever, you know. My home group, and this tradition to me speaks a lot. Speaks a lot to me. I saw a lot of references to my home group when I was reading it. I've gotten real involved with my home group, and in here it talks about in the strength of the personal commitment group members make to one another, a group character forms. As this group character grows and evolves, the group finds ways in which it can do what no other group in town may be doing. The members of each group design a blueprint for meetings that reflect that particular group's personality. And our particular group, we're just an open, we are an open discussion. We're an open discussion meeting. Sorry about that. But we have some problems because we had a lot of children coming to our meeting, so we can't have kids at our meeting. And that's had some issues because people have come up with kids, and we've had to send them to another meeting. And that's been very hard, making the decision to stay at this church because, you know, with the kid thing. We also, like, we have parties, and right now we're going to have a women's retreat. That's a Narcotics Anonymous women's retreat sponsored by our home group. Now, a lot of people didn't like this when they heard this. That's why I got this little paper. The person who did it got this, the WSO letter, to find out if it was outside of the traditions for us to have a NA women's retreat. And it's not. It was an autonomous decision, an independent decision, self-contained, self-governed decision made by the group. Now, it's not affecting Narcotics Anonymous as a whole, but let me tell you. Actually, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to get anybody's feathers ruffled. But anyway, we're not going to say who got upset. But, you know, so there's stuff that's come up. I feel really good about my home group. Like, we're voting on the car. And like I said, we get together to do things. Something else it talks about here is the public reputation of Narcotics Anonymous. It depends on how we represent ourselves. Now, I'm a big one, and I shared this before. I do not wear T-shirts that say N.A., okay? I will not wear a T-shirt that says N.A. in public because I don't know that I'm going to be responsible to not act like a jerk all the time. You know what I mean? So if I have a big N.A. on my shirt and I act like a jerk, that is a bad representation of Narcotics Anonymous. If a group has a bunch of people who like to hot rod in their parking lot, that is a bad representation of Narcotics Anonymous and reflects badly on that group and the members. We are responsible. And I think that that's very important. It also talks about in the end of the how it works and why in the end of the fourth tradition it says that it says the fourth tradition often takes the form of a group inventory, helping members gauge their success at carrying the message and reaching addicts in the neighborhood. And I kind of looked at that more and talked to my sponsor and realized that that was, for me personally, more about the fifth tradition and whether or not my home group was carrying the message to the newcomer, whether we were keeping that purity of purpose, whether we were not diluting the message of Narcotics Anonymous. Dilution of the message of Narcotics Anonymous is using language other than Narcotics Anonymous language, you know, whatever you want to call that. I'm sorry, but it is sort of a different, we use different words here, and that's okay. You know what I mean? I use different words when I go other places. And it is out of respect. It is not out of judgment. It is not out of sarcasm. It's out of respect. And like it says, purity of purpose. We don't want to dilute the message in Narcotics Anonymous. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And I think it was last year's little thingy was, you're wearing the T-shirts over there, I think it was, what is our message? That any addict can stop using drugs and lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. Our message is hope and the promise of freedom. When it is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, because that is all we have to give. That's all we really have. I mean, the bottom line, like I said, it's not about, I mean, it's nice. I have a nice house today. I have a beautiful daughter. I have a great husband. I work at home. I have some really nice things today, but that's not what it's about. If I use, I lose all of that stuff, and my sanity, and my serenity. You know, it's about staying clean today and helping somebody else. The bottom line for me in my recovery is to be of service to God and others. And I do that by working and applying the 12 steps and 12 traditions in my life. I I go to meetings sometimes, and I hear people that I hear people whine, and I don't want to hear it, and I hear people having a bad day, and I don't want to hear it. And I was thinking about that on the way here. I went to a meeting not too long ago, and I heard a bunch of people just, you know, sharing about stuff that was kind of like, you know, I didn't want to hear that stuff. I wanted to hear, you know, recovery and all this, you know, tell me about the steps, because I get that way. But then I had to realize that these were suffering addicts. You know, I'm riding in the car, it's 2 weeks later, and I'm riding in the car on my way here realizing that these are suffering addicts, and that was how they were getting the message. They were sharing, and they were doing what they had to do for themselves that day. They dumped it on us so they didn't have to go use. And that's cool, you know, that's cool. I don't have to like it, but that's okay, you know. And what's important, too, for me is to make sure I go up to that person and reach out to them after the meeting and say, hi, my name is Sarah. You know, this is my phone number if I can do anything, or this is what I did in that situation. And like I said, I think that the groups can do little inventory, you know. And because I read this, it was something that I thought that my home group, you know, suggested actually to one of the home group members that we could do, was have a group inventory to see how we're reaching, you know, newcomers. And it, here in the How It Works and Why, it actually gives us questions, which is really nice. It says the 12 traditions may be used as an outline for group inventory. Some groups use a specific set of inventory questions, such as how well are we carrying the message of recovery? Are there addicts our group isn't reaching? How can we make our meetings more accessible? What can we do to make new members feel more at home? Has the atmosphere of recovery diminished? Would a change in our meeting format strengthen the atmosphere? And, you know, it's little things like that. Things like, I was the secretary. I just gave up my position of the home group. And something I really made an effort to do was when people came that were having their slips signed, I smiled at them and said hi. It's the same guys, same women every week. You know, hi, how are you? I knew their names because I'm signed. You know, you read their names. I felt it was a nice thing to do. I'm going to say it to everybody else, you know, because a lot of times, you know, you see people slide them in on the table, you know. So that was like something that I felt was really important, was to treat every person with respect that came to the meeting. We don't have a greeter. I think it's kind of a hokey thing, but some people might think it's a good thing, you know. But, you know, when people raise their hand, you know, and say that they're new, that we actually go up to these people. These are things that are hard to do, but that are part of the fifth tradition and are very important for our groups or your home group, if you have one. And if you don't, it's a great thing. I didn't have one for a long time, and I think the reason for that was, and I'll be quiet, was because when I first got clean, there were 7 meetings a week. So I didn't have a need to go to have a home group. I saw the same 7, you know, same people every day. So it was real hard to learn about and get humble about having a home group and being committed to one group and sticking with it all the time. So thank you very much for letting me share. Y'all have a great, wonderful, sunny, happy weekend.
At this time, I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Mark.
Hello, everybody. My name is Mark, and I'm an addict. First of all, I'd like to say about these traditions, there's 3 pages written on these 2 traditions in our basic text, and there's a whole lot to them. And I, too, went and did a lot of research looking up the traditions and seeing what I could find on them. And I had to resort to Alcoholics Anonymous in order to find a lot of information on our traditions. We did get them from them. I thank them for that. The world has just gotten a hold of a bunch of archives from Jimmy Kay, and they can write a book now on the history of NA. And there's people in here, I'm sure if you're in this workshop, you're doing some kind of service. And if not, you're in the right place. We can make motions to the world that they do this, because I'd rather have the story of my program of recovery be written by addicts. I don't want to have to resort somewhere else. If they want to make a reference as to how it came through AA, fine. But I want to read it and have it be published by Narcotics Anonymous. I came into the program, and the steps didn't save my ass. The traditions did. When I came in here, I was so empty. I didn't have any way of making friends. I didn't have any more drugs on me. I couldn't walk up and say, let's get high. I couldn't talk to women. I had nothing to offer. I go to meetings, and you all go out to dinner. I was afraid to ask. No one asked me because I think they were afraid of me as I was of them. I got led to service work very early. I got a coffee-making job. So I had to be there. I had a reason to be at that meeting. I had a reason to stay for the whole thing. I had a reason to stay after it. Eventually, some people started asking me out to dinner. I started getting hooked up into this program. I had 90 days clean. My sponsor took me to my area service. He sat me down. And he says, you're a GSR now. And he walked out of the room. I've recently celebrated 7 years, and I've been in service ever since that first 90 days. And I know it's through service that I've learned the traditions. I just can't read them. I have to live them. They talk about the groups. Tradition 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. I believe that the groups are made up of individual members, and each member has to have recovery. And the more recovery that each member has, the more they can bring to the group. And the stronger the group is, and the more we hold into these traditions. 4 is pretty self-explanatory. If someone went out, a group went out, and Maxwell House came in and said, we're going to give you coffee. And they go, okay. And the next thing you know, you see a commercial on TV, Maxwell House, the coffee of choice of Narcotics Anonymous. They affected us. You know, we're endorsing them, we're doing all kinds of things. That's where that tradition comes out to me. You know, if a group's together and they're doing things that aren't spiritually correct, I think the group will fail. Early on in my recovery, I went to a group. They were having a meeting. I got there early, helped them set up chairs, helped them make coffee. No one said a word to me. I sat there the whole meeting with my hand up. No one called on me. And I don't think there was more than 10 people in this meeting. I walked out of there and went to another meeting. I haven't been back. But that meeting's still there. And hopefully their members have got a little bit more recovery and are a little bit stronger. In the fifth tradition, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. It says in our basic text that our groups do not recover, because the group is not an addict. It's the individuals that are addicts. And I believe it's up to each individual to carry the message to the addict that still suffers. And that goes into, we have a newcomer walks into the group, and we don't know what to do. We're afraid of them. They're afraid of us. We're going to let them walk out. It happens a lot. We need to go up to that newcomer and give them a hug. Hardest thing for me to do when I got in here was to get a hug from anybody. I think it took me about 6 months before I felt comfortable. It was like, you know, what are you? You all are gay or something? What the hell's going on? Today, I seek them out. I don't think if I had hugs, then I don't really feel whole anymore. And it comes back to the members of the groups again. Each member has to carry the message of recovery and have it with them. And I believe the same thing. If I'm wearing an NA t-shirt, you know, I better act appropriately. I have 2 vehicles I use. The one I use for work, I'm a technician, I'm out on the road all the time, has no stickers on it, because I can be an asshole sometimes. My personal car, It has a Just for Today license tag on it, little thing you put around your tag. I try to drive sane. I try not to cut people off, let people in. I'm not perfect, but I remember that I do have that on the back of my car, and I better carry myself appropriately. Because people are going to look at that and say, you know, look at them, you know. They haven't got any kind of recovery. And it's up to the individual to come in here and get recovery and to take it and put it towards something else in order to get people in here. I know the programs, when they first started, it was word of mouth. It was very few addicts. And they all went to the same meeting, and if they didn't show up, then they would call each other, because there's only 10 addicts in the country, and they all knew each other. That's the way I heard it was like when it started. Nowadays, I come to this convention, I look around, and there's a lot more addicts I don't know than I do know. So it's up to me, my group, all the individuals of Narcotics Anonymous, to carry the message of recovery to the addict that's still out there. The only way I can see is to do that is to get involved into your area service, getting in the helpline, putting it in the paper, making it available. We're going to have to do more and more of this as it goes on. I was in a treatment center about a week ago visiting a friend of mine. When I went through treatment, I went through a whole 28-day thing. Insurance paid for it and stuff. Nowadays, if you got insurance, you're lucky if you can stay a week. It's a big money-making thing, and they're just cranking people in, cranking people out. These people are going to end up in our meetings. It's going to be up to us to help walk them through some of this stuff that these counselors and these other people have been doing. Because the public's not paying for it. Insurance companies aren't paying for it. My insurance company, I couldn't get insurance when I first got clean after I lost my insurance unless I signed a piece of paper that said I wasn't going to relapse. And if I did, I wouldn't go into a treatment center. And if I did go to a treatment center, I'd pay for it. And that's where it's going today. So we have to be out there taking the message of recovery in the prisons. So people know that we're out there and we care. We have to be taking the message of recovery into treatment centers. We have to be taking the message of recovery into homeless shelters. And this isn't done on a group level. This is done more on an area level or the region level. And there's a lot of addicts that I know that get a lot of time, and they've worked the steps. And you see them in a few meetings, but you don't see them at your area service. I heard this in a meeting, that if you're a member of this Narcotics Anonymous and you're not doing service, you're stealing from us. And you should stop. And I firmly believe that. Doing a lot of service work isn't fun. But I did it because I didn't want to die. And I knew if I go back out, that's the only thing I got. I don't have a life if I go back out of here. I'm going to die because I came in here the day before I died. You never know what you're going to do, who you're going to talk to, that's going to change. Someone's going to come in with recovery. I've been in groups. It took me a lot of relapses in order to get some clean time. And I've heard people come up here and they say, well, I got clean and I never went out. And I'm like, I think you should thank God for that. Some people don't get that. Some people go in and out of our groups and they come around and they pick up a 30-day, 60-day, 90-day tag. You don't see them. 6 months later, they're back. What do? We step away from them. That person is dangerous. Reality is that person's sick and we need to help them get well. People didn't turn their back on me. I thought they did. I thought any time that someone shared something in a meeting that was derogatory, it was directly at me. because that's where my feelings were when I walked in here. So I take these traditions and I put them more on a personal level because, like I said before, groups don't recover, the addicts recover. How long do I go on? Okay. Excuse me for a minute. I'm collecting my thoughts. One thing is what can really help somebody, and we can do it on the group level, we can do it on any kind of level we want to do it at, is the reaching out. I was going to kill myself before I came in here, and I had the stuff to do it. I had got out, and I've gotten 5 bags of heroin. I was going to do them all in one shot. See, I had overdosed on heroin before, and I knew it didn't hurt. And I was at a bar that night having some beers, having probably the last dinner with some friends, and someone came up and gave me a hug. And that hug made me think that maybe it's not that bad. This was not somebody in the program. I think this is somebody that my higher power put in my life. And what I did at that point is I took my heroin and I shared it with the friends I was with. No one died. We all had a good time. That was one of the last times that I ever used. So you never know. I've been in meetings that the most profound thing I've ever heard came from a newcomer. He was sitting in a meeting and he put his hand up and he was talking about he didn't know how to do this recovery thing. And he was kind of scared. And then he said, well, when I started using, I wasn't very good at it. It took time, and over a period of time, I became an expert. He says, I guess I can apply this to these steps and these traditions also. And I was like, well, you know. And this guy had 10 days clean. And I was like, he's got more knowledge and more of that feeling than I had with a couple years at that point. So it's really up to us to go through our recovery, get in the service, stay in the service, and look around at what we can do. A lot of the mistakes were made in the fourth and fifth tradition, like I said, with AA. They did things like they tried to make hospitals and treatment centers and social clubs and things like that, and none of them worked out. And it was all through. We didn't have to do that, but one thing I have read about the traditions is that they're here so that when we go out and we screw them up and we make a lot of mistakes, that we can come back in and go, oh, that's what we were supposed to do. That's what we did wrong. We didn't apply the fourth tradition or the fifth tradition or any of the traditions. It's there. It's written down to guide us, not only to tell us what we're supposed to do, but when we screwed up and where it was at, we're supposed to learn from it. And that's about all I have.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Okay. Before we open the meeting up for people to come up and share, I'd like to remind you there's a lot of addicts in here, and that keep that in consideration, and that we are being recorded. And if you don't want to be recorded, it says to ask the guy who's recording, which I don't see anyone around here. So anyways, it's open now if you'd like to come up to the mic.
I'm Roberto. I'm an addict. And as an addict, when I read the title of this conference, I was thinking about myself. I was thinking that I'm at the crossroads of making a couple of decisions, and I needed some purity of purpose. So I thought it was going to be very handy in my decisions on how to make shortcoming. I never thought we were going to talk about the fourth or fifth tradition. But my higher power works in different ways, and And I learned through service that if I'm going to apply the traditions, I have to apply them in my life too. And see, the answer came. I have a purpose today and it's pure. And that's to carry a good message, to be a better person today, because I only have today. Thank you.
Nobody comes up, we can close the meeting. What do y'all think of that? Show of hands? Did y'all hear me? Do you want to share?
Hi, my name is Calixto, and I'm an addict. Sorry, I just arrived, and I didn't even hear what the topic was, but one of my sponsors told me what the topic is, so I'm in the traditions. First of all, I personally don't like it. You know, I never like it when school they have to tell me what to do. At home they have to tell me what to do. And everywhere it has to arrows to follow that way and the other way. But it has to be that way. And because I didn't like it, I had to pay a lot with pain. Now I still don't like it. But I try to make myself to accept it and to get into some directions, taking suggestions, because now for me the game is simple, death or life. So anyway, I was coming today, and something happened with the organization, with the program that excluded me for something that I was hoping that I was going to be doing. And I got upset. And I told my friend, I'm upset because this and that. And he said, well, you got to accept that. Just swallow. It's right here still, but I got to do. Because I'm not a director anymore. I never did, even I thought that I was. So tradition for me, that they're telling me how to behave myself. Like, for example, I like it, the citation they have in the program now. You know, if you've been outside wearing one of these emblems, you got to look it out, the way you behave. Because people are not going to tell that person over there. They're going to say Narcotics Anonymous acting this and that way. So tradition's telling me that how to behave, because I didn't know. And that's what I'm still coming back to meetings, because, I don't have that strong obsession anymore in going to use. But I still don't know how to live life. So traditions, people's telling me how to do now, and I don't like it, but I got to do. So thanks for, you know, and that's the way that I put it now. When somebody pick up something on me, like the last time I was sharing, and I like it to talk too much when people let me talk. So, and that person told me, you know, calm down, slow down. No, and now, before I could get upset with that person and tell him, well, that's not your business. You know, go, you know, and do your things. But now I can tell I love you too, because that is care, that people care of me. So, thanks for letting me share him.
Thank you, Sharon.
Someone else like to share? We can go ahead and close the group if no one else would like to share.
All in favor?
Okay, let's go ahead and share.